Now, I've thought on this a long time, and I've studied on it, and I've searched the scriptures out, but nowhere in all the scriptures do you find a woman standing up before a congregation to preach and to teach. But you find them praying and prophesying publicly. So when it says there in 1 Corinthians 11 that if it is a shame for a woman to pray or prophesy with her head uncovered, that means that she is to have her long hair down while she is publicly performing, either praying or prophesying. Doesn't mean she wears a hat. Doesn't mean she stacks her hair up on top of her head. Okay? Now, let's come back here to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And that's the order of creation. Let's go back and look at it. Okay? And let's see what God intended, because we're looking at created relationships. Now, if you don't have the tape for day 6 of Feast of Tabernacles this year, by all means get it. It's the one on created relationships, because we'll have a lot to say about created relationships. I hope to bring one on husband-wife relations here based upon that, because I think that'll help straighten out a lot of problems between husbands and wives and the intermixing of all of the attitude of the world, you see. Plus help solve some of the problems which were created in the church when it was a hierarchy, when everything was a put-down, you see. Now let's look and see what God intended. Let's come over here to chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And this means mankind. Okay. Has God made all mankind after Adam and Eve? Yes, because he created the reproductive processes to make it possible, correct? See, you don't do anything out of yourself or on your own. If you bear children, wanted or unwanted, it's because of the process that God gave. And sometimes those who are the ones who are rejected and unwanted are generally the ones that God chooses later on in life. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Is that true? Did God create this relationship of the world and man and woman? Yes. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now this is not to say that God is androgynous. Male and female. But this is a prophecy that there will be women who will be born into the kingdom of God, made after the image of God, and still be called a daughter of God, as we will see. Now let's notice. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing which moves upon the earth. Now let's come over here to chapter 2. And let's see where God then created Eve. We know that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. So he took whatever red clay there was, made Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So then we come over here to verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him that is suitable and compatible for him. For what purpose? That they too may become one. Which shows then it's not a hierarchy. It's not a partnership. It is a created relationship that God has given. I will make a suit, a helpmeet, which means one is suitable and compatible for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. So here again we know that God created Adam with full intelligence and knowledge, ability to think, to analyze, to name. So he put in his mind a full language, didn't he? So therefore, it was no big thing for God to confound all the languages at the Tower of Babel, right? Because God could just, by command, change all the languages. Now, since God changed all the languages and made all the languages, which language is holy? See, there's no such thing as a holy language. God made them all. There is the Holy Bible. There is the Word of God, which is written in Hebrew and Greek and translated in all the languages. But there's no such thing as a holy language. Okay, let's continue on here. Sorry for the little sidetrack there. So he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Whatever Adam called it. God didn't come along and say, oop, you made a mistake. No, call it that. No. So whatever Adam called it. I wonder what he first called an elephant. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, because here was the lesson of everything that God had created, there was not a help meet found for him. Nothing suitable or compatible for him. You know, wouldn't it be awkward to be married to a giraffe, being a human being? You know. Verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made he a woman and brought her to the man. And the Hebrew there is, he built the woman. And today there are a lot of women that are ashamed of their bodies. God made it. You don't need to be ashamed of your body. God created you. But he did not make you on an equal footing with man. He did not take a separate piece of mud or clay and make you. Because God does not want the war between the sexes. He wants a created relationship between man and woman, husband and wife, that they become one flesh. And that is the whole missing ingredient that for years, brethren, we never understood. And the only way I came to understand it, and the first time I ever preached on it, was on day 6 for the Feast of Tabernacles, was because we've been led away from the hierarchy, correct? And then we've been led away from religion to know that we're not to be religious, but we have a way of life, correct? Okay. And that we are to have a relationship with God, which is a way of life, which is not a religion. Now then, that helped open up the understanding. If there is not to be a hierarchy from God to us down through the ministry, then why should there be a hierarchy in the family? And lo and behold, there is the head who is the husband, but it is not a hierarchy, it's a created relationship, which God expects there to be obedience and submission the way that God has said for the wife, as well as the love and the nurturing and cherishing which should come from the husband. But because everything got down to a carnal level and a carnal basis and bringing in too much of the counseling of the world of how to have a happy marriage and all this sort of thing, well, this is mine and this is yours and so forth, and you have this battle going on, we got everything all turned upside down, as well as child rearing too, didn't we? Yes. And we look at it now, most of us who have grown children wish we could go back and change what we did. Well, you can't go back and change it. But at least you can admit what was wrong and do what you can to help repair it today, if possible. And then what you need to do in your relationship is to understand that it is a created relationship. Regardless of who you married, God created your husband, God created your wife. That's why going into marriage then becomes a very profound undertaking and should be done with knowledge, with understanding, and should be done with love, realizing that when there is the marriage, that the woman now voluntarily submits herself to her husband because that is the will of God and because she loves God. Now, if she does that, will she have to be beaten down by her husband to be in submission? You know, will she have to be paddled, as some ram-riding evangelist used to brag that he did to his wife? Or will he have to, on the marriage night, you know, take off his trousers and say, if you can wear these, then put them on. I am the head of the house. You see, all of those things were done. And when we heard of these things, we thought, oh, wow. You know, and you start spanking your kids at 6 weeks. See, a family is also a created relationship. Now notice. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man. Because it's not good for man to be alone. Hence, it's also not good for a woman to be alone, correct? If one is true, the other is true, right? Yes. But once there is a marriage, now let's go here, verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out, ek, of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Now this was obviously edited in at a later date. Okay, because there were no children to leave father and mother at this point. Cain hadn't even been born yet. You see. And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now that is to be physically, mentally, and spiritually become one. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of why God has called us into his family. To become one with God the Father and Jesus Christ, correct? In a divine created relationship for all eternity. Are we not, as the bride of Christ, all going to be submissive to Christ forever? By willing choice? Because of love? Yes. See? So when you get things stated out, this is my 10 acres and this is your 10 acres and we're going to overlap 2 acres. We have already drawn the battle lines, you see. And you're never going to have peace. Now, we can't help all the incompatibilities that have been caused by bad choices and things like that. But however, we can begin to get our minds on God and his way and begin to see this as a created relationship. And maybe if the husbands will really begin loving their wives and the wives begin, because of the conscience toward God, submit to them, I think they will find far less oppression and far more acceptance. And there will be less fights and less haggles and less things going on because you understand it is a created relationship that God has made. And so that's what we need to realize. Now you come to chapter 4, and what did she say? I've gotten me a man-child from the Lord, knowing that the child production was a creation of God. Now let's come all the way back here to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And we'll come to this again and expand on it even more. And when I give the one on husband and wife relationships, I'm going to begin with the wedding ceremony that we have. Because it is a covenant relationship, and a covenant relationship then is a created relationship. God made us male and female, and for that cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. Here, Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And let's see how we need to have the perspective of husband and wife relations. Now, a man should not have to make his wife submit to him. A woman should not have to make her husband love her. It's a matter of willingness and choosing to do so. Now, if you've got tensions and fighting, then you do have to use carnal means. And if it gets to the point that the law has to be laid down because of carnality, then so be it. The law has to be laid down. But what we're talking about here is the ideal situation that spiritually we are to grow into because we have the Spirit of God. And because Christ is in us. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 22, Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You have a greater standard as to why you do it. For the husband is the head of the wife. By creation, even as Christ is the head of the church, by creation, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now then, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. That's quite different from having in subjection, forcing by brute force. No, love your wives. Each of you do this, which I'll expound on next time a little bit more, which is this. Why not each one of you, why don't you see, husbands, you can love your wives to inspire your wife to submit to you, and why don't you wives submit to your husbands and be kind to see then if you can inspire your husband to love you even more. See? Take the opposite approach rather than the hierarchical approach of forcing. I mean, you can force certain things. I mean, you can even put a bridle in a horse and make it do things. See? But boy, no one wants a horsey marriage. You know? Eh? No. Eh? This is the goal. This is the ideal here. How are you to love your wives? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. A sacrificial, protecting, working, providing, loving relationship. Now here's why you're to provide for your wives. Same as Christ for the church, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. That is by inspiration, by encouragement, by uplifting. But when you have tension in your carnal, then you can't do that. And it all boils down to frustration and anger then, you see. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now that's how Christ is treating us. And so what we need to do is let Christ in us treat each other in the proper created relationship of husband and wife the way it needs to be. Verse 28, so men ought to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. Now notice why we are to do that. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones, because, and that goes right back to how Eve was created with one of his, the rib of Adam, one of his bones. So likewise, we are created from the innermost part of the being of Christ. So there's a great, great deal here for us because of what God has done. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. That means cleave to, become one, and the two shall be one flesh. And in that then, when you bring forth children, what are you doing? You're bringing, you are creating, you are recreating yourself through this one flesh existence and bringing children into the world who are also going to be children for the kingdom of God. Now, if we would have had that perspective in husband-wife relationship and in child-rearing, don't you think things would have gone a whole lot differently than they did? I would say so. But here it is after how many years being married and how many years of having children all grown up. Now I'm coming to understand it. I guess with gray hair and time and finally learning the word of God, begin to understand. And Christ is probably up there, how long, oh stupid, will you not understand me? Hey? And we just get all carnal in this. This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, let's see how the relationship continues here. The family relationship will just be a few minutes, and this will be a short tape because we have to finish here. Let's come to 1 John, the first chapter. Now we know that we are created in Christ Jesus. So the relationship that God has with us between Christ and God the Father is also a created relationship by the calling of God. Who did it? God did the calling, correct? Yes. You had to repent, that is true, but God did the calling. He brought you into this relationship. He gave you the Holy Spirit, didn't he? So therefore, our fellowship is to be, as it says here, verse 3, 1 John, the first chapter, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. Now let's understand something else. The relationship that we have with brethren is also what? A created relationship because it is something that God has done, correct? We're not related physically, are we? We chances are probably would never even know or meet each other if it were not for being called of God and being in the church of God, correct? Yes. So therefore, that is a spiritually created relationship, which means then that brotherly love becomes paramount in importance, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And truly, our fellowship is with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So there is that created relationship. Now you see, he's not called the chief and lieutenant in a hierarchy in an army. It's called the Father and the Son. And we are the children of God, correct? Yes. 1 John 3. Just turn the page. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He doesn't say the king. He says the Father. Because we are in a created family relationship with him. Has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That is a created relationship. Therefore, the world doesn't know us. It means it doesn't understand us because it didn't know him. And the world doesn't know it, you see. You know, it's quite amazing. You can look out here and all these people out here on the golf course and doing their work, mowing the lawn and sprinkling and playing golf and working hard for birdies and eagles and hopefully par. If I get out and play, if I'm 20 under or 20 over, rather, I've had a pretty good game because my ball goes down the wrong fairway. And I haven't played golf for a long, long time, so it would really be bad. But you see, they're out there and they're thinking they're having a good time. And they're probably enjoying themselves. But which is greater, the enjoyment of doing those things or the pleasure of knowing God and having His Spirit? Yeah. Okay, now let's see how this fellowship is and realize that God actually created us so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. That's why we're made in the image of God. And that's why with husband and wife relations, family relations, brotherly relations within the church, they are all created relationships then which require a standard of behavior based upon love. And if we understand that, then we're going to go a long way in solving a lot of the carnal problems that we've been beset with. Now, let's pick it up here. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Now, verse 16. Know you not, and that means don't you know or don't you understand that you are the temple of God? God delights dwelling in you, not in a building. Think on that. God delights dwelling in you. That's why it said there in Hebrews the 10th chapter twice. You have prepared a body for me, referring to Christ, referring to the church. But that also refers to us. And that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Now, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Okay. So that's quite a thing. Now, let's come to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians 1. Maybe this will help us understand a little bit more in the perspective of what we need to do. So you see, these scriptures that Paul wrote are not to be taken to be used by hierarchical authoritarians to put down women. They are not to be used to give men the authority to destroy their wives, nor their wives the authority to disregard the word of God, because Paul wrote these awful things about women, telling them to not speak in church. Okay. So we need to get a whole new perspective. Here it is right here. Let's pick it up here in verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ, that is God the Father, and has anointed us is God. God himself personally, to have this relationship with you, gave you the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, and to spare you, I came not yet as unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. So there's no hierarchy there that Paul had. Let's come over here to chapter 6. Chapter 6, let's pick it up here in verse 14. Verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that, you can apply that to business, you can apply that to marriage, you can apply that to church doctrines, you can apply that to not going out in the world and finding out what their religions are, and then we bring that in with what we do and so forth, because then you're unequally yoked. Would you not be doctrinally unequally yoked with a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic? No question about it. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion or fellowship has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In this created relationship of fellowship that God wants, and then to be born into the kingdom of God forever. And of course, the resurrection is creation, right? Yes. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So these created relationships are very important. We need to understand that. So before we get into the chapter 3 of 1 Timothy and the qualifications for an elder and so forth, we'll have at least one sermon on husband-wife relationship and try and get a little more in detail into it.
The Canadian and overseas addresses for the Christian Biblical Church of God are as follows. Canada, Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, Christian Biblical Church of God, PO Box 30, Glen Huntly, Australia, 3163. New Zealand, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 552, Albany, Auckland, 1331, New Zealand. Republic of South Africa, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 21279, Hilda Kruen, HELDERKRUIN, 1733, Republic of South Africa. United Kingdom, Christian Biblical Church of God.
Post Office Box 39, Yelverton, Devon, PL 20, 6XX, United Kingdom.